Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Got a little bit of a, just a little bit of a hoarse voice today. We got, as you know, I've been traveling around a little bit and changing the altitudes and the temperatures and all of the different plane rides and all that, meeting all the people that I haven't met before on all those planes. I think that's having a little bit of a toll on my throat, so I'll try to manage today, though. Mike Menzies is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Mike's an old friend of ours and the president of Eastern Bank and Trust and the resident banker of our brain trust. He's our good friend. Mike Menzies, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you. It's good to be back, and I am an old friend getting older every day.
Well, you're certainly a friend of ours, and we appreciate that all you've done for us over the years. And Mike, talk to us a little bit about how you're seeing, in 2005, how you're seeing the relationship between small businesses and their bankers.
Well, every year brings up a new year of opportunities and relationships. And I think that, in general, it's a good year for business. It's a good year for small business. It's my perspective, certainly in the Mid-Atlantic region where we are on the eastern shore of Maryland, business is good and the climate is healthy. I think that the banking industry remains very competitive. Margins have contracted some because while it's not the case with our bank, I think it is with many banks, that they were not asset sensitive, meaning that their deposit rates are going up faster than their loan rates. So if your margins are contracting, then you need more business to offset that loss of income, which creates a competitive environment, which is good for small business. So I think it's going to be a profitable, healthy year for small business and for banks. I think that all of us need to position for the corrections that are likely to occur, none of us knowing when or how quickly. And those corrections
right.
are real estate related and interest rate related and energy related, and they're likely to occur. We've been around long enough and been through enough decades to know that what goes up comes down, and mm-hmm. that it's logical that we're going to have some corrections from the past 4 years of stimulus that the Fed has put into the economy.
Well, Mike, one of the things that I've noticed in the marketplace is that more and more companies, more and more industries are realizing that as fragmented and as unorganized as small businesses are as a group, but they look at us like we're pretty much like we're a herd of cats. And they're probably correct in that perspective, in that view. But they're also realizing that they're not going to make it in the 21st century if they don't cultivate a relationship with small businesses. And I think banks, more and more, large and small, especially the large banks, are realizing more and more every day that if they're going to be successful in the 21st century, they must do business with small businesses.
Well, Jim, think for a minute about the evolution of this banking model over the past 10 years, and it will simply confirm the logic of your words. The banking model, not unlike Walmart or Home Depot or other entity, insurance and transportation, has been a roll-up model. It's been a consolidation model. So the banks have been aggregating, coming together to get more volume, more throughput, a higher cost-volume-profit ratios. And what that means is that you want to reduce the cost of decision-making, and one way to reduce the cost of decision-making is let the computer do it instead of paying people to make decisions.
Right.
So the industry has gone through a period of time where it's rolled up aggressively, it's commoditized its products, and it's attempted to evolve decision-making into a centralized, programmed process using credit scores or decision models of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, small businesses don't fit that problem because small businesses are high-maintenance entities. They have CEOs who open the door, make the coffee, price the job, and go do it.
Right.
And they need and want credit value. They want a lender who is going to take time to come out and visit them, to understand their business, to make decisions on what their needs are, and then to deliver. They don't want to take time to fill out 20 pages of forms to see whether there's a score that lets them get their credit, if they fit the mold, if
and,
you will.
And that doesn't give them credit for their character. One of the things I've been talking about lately, Mike, is small business owners are real characters. Banks give them credit for their character. 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Mike Menzies after these messages. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Mike Menzies is our guest. He's president of Eastern Bank and Trust in beautiful downtown Easton, Maryland, over on the Eastern Shore. Mike, how's the economy over there in Easton?
We are absolutely blessed in our markets. Our markets are not just solid, but firm and improving and growing across the board. Now, we're the beneficiary of the fact that within a half a day's drive, 40% of the nation is within downtown Easton.
Mm-hmm.
And within 3 hours' drive, we've probably got almost 38 million people.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have this unbelievable prop called Washington, D.C. and Homeland Security.
It's an artificial economy.
It is an artificial economy, and but Washington, D.C. is a permanent artificial economy.
Mm-hmm.
And while it does go up and it goes to, does go down through different business cycles, it gives us something that much of the rest of the nation doesn't have. So right now, things are really, really good. That isn't to say in 2 or 3 or 4 years we don't expect some corrections. We really do. But our real estate prices are as solid as solid can be. It's just, you know, just a really good time for this region of the country.
When you meet with small business owners, what do you want them to bring you when they bring you a proposal for a loan to take their business to the next level? What do you want them to bring you?
Well, the classic answer is enough financial information to make a decision that they know where they're going. But frankly, the first thing I'm looking for is vision, and the second thing I'm looking for is passion. If they come to us with a vision and with a passion, we can figure out the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
If they come to us and it's they don't have an attitude of establishing a competitive advantage, competitive advantage can be a service advantage, a price advantage, but some advantage, if they're just an also-ran, then we're going to challenge them with respect to their loan request and with respect to where they're going to go. Small businesses, as you know, employ the lion's share of the new jobs in this.
That's right.
In this economy. And you also know that that a lot of the small businesses don't make it during the first 5 years. And in my opinion, the reason they don't make it is not because of money or economics. It's because they lack vision and they lack passion. You know, we've got some business like a painting outfit that that we're doing business with that has a passion, if you can imagine. These guys are painters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're paying their employees $40 an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. And they have a passion for being.
Do they need anybody else?
I think
I'll quit my job and go to work for those guys.
That's what my retirement package is I'm going to painting. But these guys have a passion for what they do. I mean, they don't want a drop in the wrong place, and they are niched at the high end of the market, And it's sort of, you know, if you have to ask the price, you shouldn't be talking to me.
That's the thing I wanted to get to with you right now, Mike. And that is, if I were a banker today and somebody brought me a proposal to borrow money to help them try to fight a price war, I would not loan them the money.
Yeah,
but if somebody brought me a deal that wasn't quite as solid, but it was where they were going to show me how they were going to charge more because they were going to find the people who were willing to pay for more services and more capability, that's the group that I'd be wanting to support.
Yeah, it's an example of the meaning of niche, and defining niche is critical to any business, whether it's a bank or whether it's a radio show or whether it's a painter. And we have a young lady who was in the seafood business, and she decided that her product was so hot that it needed to be presented to the public on the Home Shopping Network.
Right.
And came to us with a passion and convinced us that she was going to do it, didn't have two nickels to rub together. We put together an SBA loan, and she is rock and roll, just absolutely blowing them away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because she has a vision and a passion. So you can compete on the high or low end of the price curve if you have some vision and passion, no doubt about it.
Well, one of the things that I try to tell small business owners as often as I can is the price war is over and we lost.
Yeah. Well,
so don't fight a war that's not even there anymore.
Yeah, no doubt that the roll-up model of Home Depot and Walmart and Target and those guys, Target, they have established a clear presence in the price side of the equation, and will dominate that for some period of time. So businesses need to have value, a value proposition that gets the margin that justifies their being in business.
Well, and the thing that I think some people may miss when they go to a banker is they may miss what you said a minute ago, and that is you've got to make your banker believe that what you're doing will work. I mean, if you come to them and just show them the financial stuff, that might be okay, but bankers want to believe in the deal beyond the financial information, don't they, Mike?
Yeah.
I want you to talk about that when we come back after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with Mike Menzies. He's with Easton Bank and Trust in Easton, Maryland.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. Mike Menzies is our guest. Mike, you got a website too, don't you?
We do. We do have a website.
Thank God.
Yep. EastonBankandTrust.com.
Check it out, folks.
And we're going to have internet banking in 30 days.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
Yep, we discovered someone on the eastern shore of Maryland who has a computer, so we're going to offer the product.
Welcome to the 21st century, Mike.
Yeah, I know.
Mike, one of the things I've been talking to small business owners about in some of the speeches I've been making recently and some of the things I've been writing about is the importance of making a banker your business's best friend and your success partner. And if you're going to do that, and I'd like your thoughts on that idea, but also, I also say if you're going to do that, as I said before we took the break, you got to make sure you need to help your banker to sort of, they don't have to fall in love with what you do, what you're planning on doing, but they need to fall in like with it, don't they?
Yeah, you use the driving word, which is partner, and you can have a vendor relationship with a bank, or you can have a partnership relationship with a bank. And I think you want a partnership relationship. You don't want a commodity vendor type relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the banker really understands you and what you're about and what you're trying to accomplish, and you understand what they're looking for and what their needs are. You said before the break, how do you make your banker believe in you? And what can you do to get your banker to believe in you? And I think that's where the partnership concept comes in. They believe in you if they take ownership in your success and if they take ownership in your failure, meaning mm-hmm. they feel a sense of responsibility.
And see, that's where the partnership thing comes in, because if your banker is a vendor, they don't know you when things are going bad.
Right.
They only know you when things are going well. But if they're your partner, if you've gotten them a little bit invested in what you're doing, then they feel like it's part of them.
Yeah, there's nothing that feels better when you have a customer and they're successful and they've got big deposits and you're all grinning, and then all of a sudden a year or so later they've got some problems, and they call you up and they say, you know what, I got problems, I need your help. As opposed to saying, I better not call this guy because he thinks I'm just successful, I don't want him to see my lumps and bumps and weak spots. Mm-hmm. But when you really know and trust your banker, you'll call him up and say that. And, you know, community banks, in particular ICBA-type banks, are very much relationship, partnership-driven. They very much focus on having that kind of customer. They don't want a commodity customer. The other thing, while I had a second, Jim,
okay.
Talking about what small businesses can do to build their relationship with banks, is this is a great time for small business to be asking itself, what are we going to look like in 5 or 10 years? And what are the dynamics out there that are going to alter our business? If you're a small business and you're not looking at the age wave and the baby boomers and the 78 million Americans that are thinking about retirement over the next 20 years or so, then you're not looking at the change in this economy. If you're not looking at the fact that real estate prices are likely to change, that interest rates are rising, that oil prices are likely to go up over some period of time, that government has a $500 million deficit that someone's going to have to pay for, then you're just looking at the inside and not the outside. It's a great time to be looking at the outside and trying to figure out how that's going to influence your business model over the next 5 or 10 years.
Well, you know, and I just like to say, Mike, that there are some businesses who need, I agree with you 100%, but there are some businesses who need to say, is the way I'm doing business today going to get me there? Because some people still haven't come into the 21st century.
Absolutely. No question about it.
If things aren't working for you right now, it might be because you haven't figured out that you're not in Kansas anymore, Toto.
True.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Things ought to be working for you right now. If they're not working for you right now, then you need to tweak that model.
You're probably trying to nurse a 20th century model into a dimension that won't accept that model.
Yeah. And there, frankly, are banks that are out there that are doing just that. They're living in a 100-year-old model, and they're not changing to the needs of their market.
Well,
and
whatever those banks are, large or small, like the businesses, large and small, they're not going to make it if they don't make the transition. Mike, well done today. Thank you for being here.
It's always a pleasure.
Give us your website one more time.
It's EastonBankAndTrust.com.
Internet banking in 30 days, right?
How about that? Yeah.
Thanks, Mike. We'll see you next time.
Good to be with you, Jim.
Mike Menzies, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.